So, what is going on with all of these things that are happening in my story here of Jason? Months and months ago, when we were discussing dreams, I said, essentially, if you don't get down to understanding who the players are in your dream, then you will never understand your dreams or never understand what's going on. So, why do you suppose that might be? Does anybody have a suppose in that? Oh, I guess I have to tell you why, huh? Do you understand that? Do you understand that the old saying that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts is crap? Do you understand that the parts are greater than the whole? No?
Didn't we say it otherwise?
What did you say, Simone?
I remember that we said that the whole is more than the sum of each piece.
Sure, but now I'm turning that around and saying that the pieces are greater than the whole. Does this sound reasonable? And if so, why? And if not, why? Or what the hell's going on here?
Well, there wouldn't be a whole to be understood if there weren't parts interrelating or parts having relationships.
Well,
if the parts that make the whole is really a meaningless thing. You draw a circle around it, but you wouldn't even have a whole if you didn't have the parts that are in relationships.
Well, let's deal with that from an even greater perspective than that, Patrick. If you are trying to hear what I am saying, what is he saying? What is he saying? What is he saying? You have limited yourself, have you not? Whereas, if you understand the parts, what are the parts of what he is saying? What are the parts of what he is saying? Then the parts themselves interrelate in such a way that the parts and their interrelationships are far, 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 far greater than anything I could be saying. Make sense to anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yes.
So, in order to do that, you have to then not listen in the story for what he is saying, meaning me, Jason, Mattathai, or whomever, but understand who or what the parts are saying and how they are interrelating in such a way then that in understanding the parts and how they are relating, that means that no matter what I might be saying, you can relate the same things as parts into a different, other, greater relationship such that the sum of the parts and their relationships is far, 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 far greater than the whole of what might be saying. Make sense?
Yes.
Yep. So I'm trying to speak in parts and pieces in such a way then that you can put the parts and pieces together and have them interrelate in such a way that you understand far more than what I'm saying. If you focus only on what I am trying to say, I mean, I don't know, maybe other people don't work it this way, but if you focus only on what I am saying, you've narrowed yourself down to what I'm saying. Why ever would you do that? So, the question is, in all of this, does anybody have any idea of the parts and the relationships of the parts that have been expressed in the story so far of Jason, Mattathiah, Gabi? There are other people involved, but like in the alcove, there's a lot of participants in the alcove that haven't said anything. So, what we've done so far is only introduced, essentially, Jason, Mattathiah, Gabi, sort of inferred Hothir, introduced into Jason's life Gabi. Does anybody have a concept of and the relationships of these individuals? Well, I got a letter from... Go ahead.
Didn't you say last time that Mattathiah is Jason's father?
Did I say what?
Mattathiah is Jason's father.
What does that mean?
That's the kind of a relationship.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
It's a family.
But what aspect of Jason is Mattathiah's father?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Who is that?
Andrew. That's the one thing I haven't been able to figure out.
Why?
Well, I mean, we haven't... That's not a character in our cast of characters that we've discussed previously.
It doesn't matter if we've discussed it previously. The point is, in all of this, from what we have discussed, if you would deal with the cast of characters... listen from that set of ears, particulars ears or cast of characters ears, what do I gotta do? Give you goddamn a program for everything I say ahead of time? So, we've made it very, very, I have made it very, very clear who Mattathiah is. And I have expressed that throughout, and I'll give you examples of that later if we want to, how in a way, in a manner in which that is completely stressed, expressed, and repeated over and over and over and over again. But the point of it is, you miss the statements that declare who Mattathiah is, because you don't know the cast of characters.
Well, I mean, I've heard it said that he... I mean, I've heard the statements that he's his father. He's Hothir's father. But I'm left questioning what difference that makes. Or, I mean, does that render a greater significance to the relationship?
Sure it does, because...
I mean, because they could have any number of kinds of relationships as a father-son. They happen to have the one they do.
What does that mean?
That's
there's only one relationship between father and son, and that's the father and son relationship.
Yeah, but there's abusive father relationships, and
what?
There's loving father relationships.
No. If you want to throw adjectives and adverbs in there, that's okay. But the relationship remains the same.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
The only reason...
It doesn't matter if I have an abusive relationship with my mother. The relationship is between me and my mother. How it is...
Hey, all right. I have my question then.
All right.
This is maybe sort of where I don't know how to put these relationships into a meaningful action for me. I hear that it's a relationship of mother begat son or father begat son. But, I mean, you know, that's... So what, in the sense of, it doesn't really have a, don't know what you would call it, a structure, a framework, a motion that I...
Well, sure it does. But abusive doesn't mean anything unless you know the relationship. The relationship...
Well, that's true, but it gives me at least a sense or flavor of how it might be.
Well, who gives a damn? Who gives a damn? You got to understand what the relationship is first in order to then understand the nature of the relationship. You want to know the nature of the relationship, and you think the nature of the relationship is going to tell you anything about the relationship? I don't think so.
Well, in this sense, yes. Yes, I do, in this sense. But if you, I guess since you've already said no, I don't need to tell you, so never mind.
But go ahead.
Well, it's like saying, without a description of a hammer is meaningless.
Go stay, don't change the subject. Go back to stay where we are. If the relationship between Mattathiah and Jason is loving, caring, argumentative, abusive, piss off, what the hell difference does anything of that make? Because you don't know, if you don't know what the relationship is between Jason and Mattathiah, you don't know what those adjectives and adverbs apply to.
Well, I mean, okay, sure, absolutely. Well, I mean, I don't know. That was just as close as I could come, because honestly, father-son relationship doesn't, to me, I don't know, I just, whatever. I'm just saying, that's why I haven't understood it.
What do you mean? Wait a minute. What do you mean, a father and son relationship? Well, I don't understand. Is there a relationship between father and son that is supposed to be?
No, but you're saying that the knowledge of the relationship itself. I think what you're saying is the knowledge of the relationship itself is going to gain me some understanding, because I have to say I've certainly missed.
Well, maybe you should try to understand the relationships first, and maybe that if you understand the relationship first, that would explain or help to explain or indicate what, or the way and the manner in which the relationship is, what that means.
I would love to hear that.
Oh, okay. Well, first,
I don't know how to do that. To me, father and son is just like a noun. It is what it is, but it doesn't tell me about it.
Well, then
it makes sense of that.
Then maybe because you have father and son, you haven't talked about the relationship in that regard. You have stuck with words and labels.
I think that probably is what's happened, yeah.
Oh, well, maybe we got to get off of words and labels and get on to understanding relationships, and then be able to understand what the relationship between Jason and Mattathiah, what the hell is going on here?
Would be great.
Oh, okay. Patrick, do you want to help us out in all of this?
Thank you very much, Andrew. You helped clarify something for me.
Which is?
That I think I was kind of stalled at the label part as well for a while.
Oh, okay.
So, if...
What does Bob mean in this context?
So once we understand the relationships between the players in this whole drama, whatever it may be, then maybe when we talk about, if you think it's argumentative, abusive, and etc., we can understand who and what is really being freed of the labels. We can understand who or what the argumentative or abusive relationship is all about.
I mean, because the way this is like the third or something week that we've addressed this topic, and I would like to know what key critical enlightening information you get out of just the fact of the relationships.
No. I get it okay. not out of the fact of the relationships, but knowing the facts of the relationships, I then know what and who is interrelating.
Okay, question for you. Does that designate to you some kind of a flow or some kind of a...
Of course it does. That's what I've been trying to tell you in all of this, is that life is a pattern. The understanding and awareness that you have of yourself or life or other things or life itself is a pattern. It ain't a label. Language labels. Life
okay.
patterns. And this is
okay.
this is
relationship is like a label to me. So I need help lifting myself out of that.
That's right. And so the point of it is, if you get out of the label and into the pattern, then it is possible to extend that pattern far, far, far beyond merely the relationship between, let's say, Jason and Mattathia, to Jason and other things and other wares and other stuff.
Oh, so you're saying it's not on that particular relationship itself, it's the how that works in other areas of life as well.
That's right, but I have to know the players, and I have to know the pattern of the relationship, so that then I can understand Jason and what's going on in Jason's life following that pattern again and again and again.
Okay.
We okay? Back to you, Patrick.
Yeah, this is a fascinating conversation, let me tell you. Okay, I had real trouble sorting out who the hell the cast of characters were, and I had sent an email to Roger asking if I had got it right, and the long and short of his answer was that I did not have the cast of characters correct. So Roger wrote a fairly detailed email outlining not only the cast of characters but giving some hints as to what those relationships are among the cast of characters.
And so when we're talking about the relationships, we're then talking about the pattern of relationships that exists within, that is revealed by the story in Jason's life.
Yes.
Okay.
The pattern of the players in the relationships that the cast of characters are living out in the story. So, Roger wrote, Jason Othere are communed personal being, eternal being. Mattathia is eternal self, Othere's father. However, since Jason Othere are communion, and since Mattathia is Hothir's father, Mattathia is also personal self Jason's father, but is not the father of Jason's body.
Okay, everybody got that figured out?
Would you please read it again?
Draw a diagram.
Yeah. Helps.
And I'm going to stop and interrupt as you go along, Patrick, only to point out how each statement that is made here in this letter, how that is clearly and succinctly portrayed in the story. Okay?
Okay. Jason Othere are communioned personal being, eternal being.
Pause. In the story, it is referred to Hothir as being Jason in that environment, and then that when Hothir left that environment, they gave him the name Jason. It is also in the reading of the thing that Jason and Jason Hothier is kind of, as a name, sort of brought together. And there are times in there when Jason, it is even clearly stated, Jason becomes Hothier. There was even a time when he wakes up on the bed in the dining room where he tries to maintain Hothier, because the minute he wakes, he has to awaken as Jason. So you know those two are fully communioned together as eternal being Hothier and personal being Jason. And that's important. Now, though we were talking about meeting your eternal self through suscitation, in this situation, I was already, in a sense, so communioned with Hothier that I am, in a sense, being that communion even in the environment of Hothier's environment. Does everybody understand that?
Yep.
So Hothier doesn't really take on a separate identity, although it gets to where that can occur. It doesn't take on a separate identity because I had already, in this situation, had already become so communion that the two, Jason and Hothier, kind of blur together. So what what you are experiencing in the story is Jason as Hothier. Okay, you go from there, Patrick.
Mattathiah is eternal self, Hothier's father.
Okay.
Pause there for a moment. And this goes back to something that Andrew said. Use of the term father in this one, do we at least have an understanding of the term to mean something like begat?
All right, let's assume that.
Hothier.
Okay. Can you understand eternal self begat personal self, and in that then personal self begat eternal self?
Is that the three relationships?
Well, no. Don't put it into anybody. Can you understand that? The old concept of a particle creates particles that create the original particle. In the same way, then, you create past lives which create you today. Which also means, then, that you, as Hothier, create a father which creates Hothier today. Does that make sense?
Hey. Yes.
So, Mattathiah begot Hothier only in that Hothier begot Mattathiah.
Yes.
In other words, I have to keep saying these things or trying to illustrate these things because it makes no sense in language labeling.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed something. I thought, could you say that last statement again?
What I said last thing was that Mattathiah begat Hothier only because Hothier begat Mattathiah. Or you might say, Hothier begat Mattathiah in order to begat Hothier.
And Hothier is the eternal self?
Yes. In other words, the eternal self creates personal self, kind of like a self-image, so that the self-image can create the eternal self. why would it be any difference between Mattathiah and Hothir? Mattathiah creates an image of himself as Hothir so that Hothir can create then Mattathiah. Well, I guess that fell on deaf ears.
Not at all. No. I'm, and I hope I'm not being silly bugger here, but I want to go back to basics here for a second. Personal self communes with eternal self, and that communion we call eternal being.
Yeah, that's not entirely true. Let's start from the beginning. Although this is such a round robin, it doesn't matter where you begin. So I'm going to start in one place. Eternal being creates a self-image of itself called... Excuse me. Start all over again. Eternal self creates only a self-image of itself that is called personal self, such that the personal self combined with body created by other parents becomes a personal being who can then in that embody eternal self as an eternal being. That makes sense?
It's a walk-around suit.
In a walk-around, yeah. In a sense, a walk-around suit. But it's a slightly different walk-around suit.
But in the body. Once it's in the body, but yeah.
And then embodied by your parents, your Alabama parents, you are able then, you have the equipment then to embody your, embody Anno, your eternal self, as an eternal being.
Mm-hmm.
So that which gives life to something gives life to that which originally gave life to it.
Yep.
You understand that, Patrick?
Yes.
If we then take that same pattern and move it up to Mattathiah and eternal self, who is Mattathiah?
Do we use the same term? The Mattathiah had a self-image that is
Hothir? That's correct. Mattathiah had a self-image that was Hothir. Hothir is an eternal self, which then has an image of a personal self, which then enters a body, other created body by Alabama persons or Canadian persons or whatever, that then embodies the eternal self as a being. And the eternal self as a being embodies Mattathiah as a being. Who is Mattathiah?
That would be the eternal being.
No, Mattathiah would be the illuminated being.
Up the ladder, forgot, yes.
You just go right up the ladder. So, and you move the pattern forward or upward, whatever you want to do, and then Mattathiah as father of the eternal self and interacting between personal and eternal, as I've said before, then Mattathiah in that regard is the eternal self of Hothir, who is to embody Mattathiah as Hothir Jason is.
Oh, would the start point with Mattathiah be an illuminated self, does the projecting, and then through the relationship, eventually can be known as the illuminated being.
That's right. As I said before, it's the interaction between personal self and eternal self that creates or embodies in that Mattathiah, which is an illuminated being, who is an illuminated self, but not a being. The lesser creates or embodies the greater.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
So, Mattathiah, as eternal self, Hosir's father, in that regard, then, is an embodiment of Hothir, also known as Jason's illuminated self.
Or does that ever good meaning to what you're talking about easier, that the parts are far, far greater than the whole?
And in that then, you see, when Jason, we'll assume Jason Hothir, when Jason Hothir then is arguing with Mattathiah, he is arguing with himself.
Yeah.
Because in that then, he was fathered, allow me that word, fathered in the belief of God, you see, and is arguing with Father that that belief may not in actuality be true, and has even challenged Mattathiah to the point, which is himself, by the way, do you really want to believe in God? Because if you believe in God, then in that regard, you're screwed from the get-go. Conclusion, end of discussion. He is everything, that's it, that's only, that's one, that's nothing. And you've in that then lost or forsaken the inner relationships of the parts and pieces. So the parts and pieces interrelating, and I have a thing I wrote last night, the parts and pieces interrelating is, let's call it, hundreds and hundreds of times greater than the whole, and greater than oneness, and greater than God. You think by labeling, in using language, labeling God as omni, that's it, that's settled, that's it, no more, that's it, that's the conclusion, that's everything. No, no, no. That's barely the beginning. That's what Jason is trying to get across to his own father. And I guess that's what I'm trying to get across here.
But essentially to himself. Is that not correct?
Which is to himself because, and in the same regard, Hothir is Jason is me.
Yep.
My mother was the daughter of a preacher. I have been to Catholic churches, Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Presbyterian. What? The only ones I've kind of missed under all of this sort of stuff is Baptist and I didn't go to temple. But there's not another religion, and all of it I'm saying as a dissenter. What the hell is going on? But I was raised that this is the way it is. And I'm saying, who says so? It
but
makes
your
no...
question is.
Huh?
And in the discussion, your question is.
Of course. And so, yes, I'm dealing with my father. I was fathered in that way. But who says that that's true? So the argument now makes sense. This is an argument with myself. And so when I'm arguing with Mattathiah, who said I should be agreeable to my father, which is the father of myself? Why should I be agreeable to what I have been told for all my life is true. I'll argue with, and it wasn't really an argument if you understand it. Each one was more, if there was an argument going on, I think there was more of an argument from Mattathias' perspective. And the reason that is because he had a preconcept to defend. God exists, that's it, sorry, don't discuss anything else. Jason's not arguing per se, because he has no position to defend. So, if the thing goes on, would that not be, and that's in my life per se, would that not be number one to consider? If there is a God, you're screwed.
Now, I'm leaping ahead here. Maybe some of the stuff that you wrote here is that we've already talked about it, but I think that I got a question, though, that you wrote to me that, where is it? That means you are actually preparing yourself and life after death today. And through experiencing the self and life you are embodying as an eternal being life, you can clearly see, know, experience what you are bringing to life and communing. So your conversation with Mattathias is you preparing your life after death.
Thank you kindly. And that, which we'll get into, is the whole what? Meaning and purpose of everything I'm trying to do. We'll get into that as a separate discussion. We okay?
Yeah.
Are you willing to leave that? You willing to leave that for a moment?
Yes.
Okay, then go back to reading.
Hey. Mattathias is also personal self, Jason's father, but is not the father of Jason's body. I think we pretty well dealt with that.
Okay.
But this is part worth emphasizing. If you believe in God or oneness, you keep these relationships from your awareness. Actually, you prevent them from even occurring in your life. Pause.
Because in doing that, there are no separate relationships going on in your life. The only relationship you have is that God created you and you are a part of God. End of discussion.
Now, does that mean relationships don't exist or that I'm just completely blind to them?
No, it means, in this regard, I probably shouldn't have used exist in that way. They are not alive for you. It doesn't mean that they're not, that they don't exist, but they have no life or meaning or significance in your life today.
Okay, they're so thoroughly blocked off, even though that they may be, the relationships are going on, they're not alive or to me at all.
But the problem is, and we'll discuss this in terms of your life, is that if you're not aware of it, the way and the, which is exactly what Jason said to Mattathias, is the way and the manner in which they are going on the way you want them to go on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Though you might believe that Mattathias, who essentially breathes the life of personal self into Jason's body, as created by Jason's body parent, is God the Father, but this isn't true.
Why is it not true? Well, it's not true in the sense that you would look at only in using language and labeling, you to follow only one pattern. And that is that if Mattathiah breathed life into Jason, then Mattathiah existed prior to Jason. That's language, that's labeling, that's the way it goes. But in fact, Mattathiah does this in order for Jason to breathe life and bring Mattathiah alive.
Yes.
You see how you can only create some kind of a picture in order to then be able to discuss those relationships, because otherwise you can't talk about them in language. There's no label following the pattern of language that allows this to occur, because you've already said Mattathiah creates Jason. Therefore, Mattathiah does exist and is alive and brings Jason alive. That's language. But in fact, what goes on is Mattathiah as a self creates only an image of Hothir, so that Hothir can do all sorts of things in order to bring Mattathiah alive, or to embody Mattathiah, which then brings him alive.
Yeah, that was a stumbling point for me. I had really gone just that one direction.
That's right. And this is why I keep saying, use language, it only goes in one direction to describe, but you have to then not use examples, but use illustration. So what I'm doing here is giving you a story that follows the pattern, or that illustrates the pattern that I'm trying to express. Don't let the story then wander from that pattern. Now the problem is that you, thinking language, are looking for, okay, so all this shit's going on. What's the conclusion? No. We don't want to go there. You should say, this stuff is going on. What is the pattern? Aha! If I can see the pattern, then I might be doing that in every area of my life. We okay?
Okay.
So the minute you label Mattathiah maybe as sort of God the Father in that regard, you've killed everything. You've just, end of pattern. Let's talk only about your conclusions as opposed to my conclusions, and we get nowhere. Okay.
And then you wrote, this is the beginning source of Jason Mattathiah's big discussion of God.
That's what I've kind of said.
You said earlier that that Mattathiah came alive with a belief in God, the Creator.
And then created a self-image that was founded in that godness. That self-image is Hothir. Hothir creates the self-image, or the personal self, that is Jason in all of this. So that along the line, they can fold back on of itself and say, is this true? The only one in that whole series that can have one of those cute little walk-around suits to gather different or contrary information or reconsider what's going on is personal being Jason. He's got one of them cute little suits. The rest of them already have a concept and stay with that within the, and can't move out of themselves. Mattathiah is stuck. Hothir is stuck. Personal self is stuck. Jason, personal being, aha! Free at last! We okay?
So if God the Father exists for you, what Father is that? Now that sounds like one of those trick questions.
Sure. If God the Father exists for you, what Father is that? Could you, as a personal being, see your personal self as God the Father? Could you see eternal self as God the Father? Could you see illuminated self as God the Father? Could you not see all of these in this relationship, wait a minute, as you create that to be?
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's pause for a minute. Can you understand that if you, as personal being, follow your memories, you will not vary from personal self? Following memories cannot vary from eternal self. Following memories cannot vary from illuminated self. Only you, with a cute little walk-around suit, can vary from memories.
I can't say I understand why exactly the walk-around suit grants that. I mean,
because you can experience other or different or newer other than memories.
Oh, so you're saying the eternal being only has past data and information?
That's right. And it just carries it on.
It can't recombine that in new ways?
No. See, this is what we've said too often. We've said
the
master is... The master combiner knows everything. No, the master combiner is stuck in all of its already knowns.
So it's us guys that have access to...
It's what?
It's the personal beings that have access to the data and information of the universe to combine and coalesce as we see fit.
So, you see, then the personal being in that, in recombining in that way as a particular, is greater than the whole.
Sounds like that.
Yeah, so we're actually creator God ourselves.
You're even greater than that, but you don't realize it because God has already, through language, been set up as Mr. Omni.
Mm-hmm.
There's no room for you.
Right.
Okay, so what I'm doing is breaking down Mr. Omni in this regard in order to particularize Mr. Omni, and the minute I do that, I create interrelationships between the particulars, and in that, I create greater than Mr. Omni, which I can easily illustrate, by the way.
Okay.
Because I've illustrated it a dozen times before, but nobody understood it. So, we okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Since Jace and Hosea are communion, and in that they blur together, as Gabi, Gabby, sorry, let me do that again, I ran it together. Since Jace and Hosea are communion, and in that they blur together, Gabi, Gabby, as separate individuals who merely walk into each world, portray the eternal personal relationships of being doing much the same, yet different in each world, such as keeper and user of eternal Akashic record and keeper and user of personal record of individual.
Period. We'll get back to it in a minute. Since Hothir and Jason are already communioned, we okay with that?
Yeah.
Yep.
The only way I can really illustrate that, because they have to function together, and your mind keeps them together in that way, I have to set out a relationship for you to observe. Gabi, Gabby, have a communion relationship that you can observe. Gabby is the personal being of Gabi, who is the eternal self of Gabby. Make sense?
So it's a different character. It's not part of Jason.
Not at all. It's a walk-on. And he walks on only so that I can, to me, it occurs in my life, so that I could observe the relationship with myself. But if I'm communioned with myself,
right.
That's too self-referential for me to even see, much less understand.
Right, it's like saying if you can see it in somebody else, you suddenly realize how it relates with you.
Aha, that's right.
There.
So then we have an introduced here to me, it was introduced to me, and I'm introducing it to you, a Gabi-Gabby relationship, eternal, personal, so that then you could observe how that relationship functions. And what it does is functions in this way. They're both doing the same damn thing. Gabi is doing something like a keeper and user of the Akashic record, or the eternal Akashic record. And Gabby, he keeps a record and uses then the personal record or relationship of particular individuals, which are going to use to sell the condos and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're doing the same thing. So I've never asked you to go out and change your job. I've only asked you to understand what the job means or is, or don't change your doings. What you're doing is or relates to in an eternal context, what that might be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Like in this,
and
why did this come up? Well, because since about 1968, at that time, I was, in a sense, trying to do the readings. Do you not understand then that doing the readings is showing people to a record of themselves in an eternal or Gabi relationship, where I might be just doing readings and talking to people about themselves? That is talking to them about their eternal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We okay with that, Patrick?
Yep.
So that doesn't mean then that you quit your job or change your job or do something else. What is in an eternal context? What is it that you are really doing?
Okay,
Patrick, you're next.
Hey, I got a question.
Okay.
Just curious, let's go back to in the Parthenon with all these guys and then folks in the alcove out there, and there's Gabi sitting at the table. I guess one of my thoughts as I look at that cast of characters, it was me, would be what part or aspect of myself is Gabi? But how do we know...
He's not a part of it. He's a walk-on.
I got you. But how do we know that he's not a part of me or you in this case?
But there has to have something come up to make him otherwise. And there is nothing that portrays Gabi as anything but a walk-on, just the same as all of the other people in the alcove are just there.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily... Oh, wait a minute. Do you really think that everything in the universe is you? You crazy...
Not necessarily, but here's where I'm at. We've got identified, so far if I follow this, Mattathai as illuminated being, Jason as body, embodied personal being, and Hothir as the eternal being. So there are like at least 2 to 3 other characters in our cast that we've talked about that aren't yet placed.
So they're walk-ons until you find out otherwise.
Okay.
Does everybody that comes into your life have to be a sign and symbol of you?
Hey, I don't know. I've never looked at life this way, so I'm considering the possibility.
Well, maybe you should consider only that how you feel about the people who walk into your life. That feeling portrays you, not the person.
Okay.
All right. We okay with this, Patrick?
Yep.
Okay, read on.
Gabai as having a separate and distinct role in the story, and just part of the storyline, but not part of you.
That's right, and it is in the storyline, but not part of me. So that. Relationship between Gabby and Gabai allows me to stand back and see, knowing or dealing with relationships would enable me to see myself, which is too self-referential for me to know directly. I have to know that indirectly. I have to get myself out of the way.
Got it. So you added here that the Akashic records and the personal records of individuals are recordings, not judgments, and they appear much the same as Gabai Gabby and Golden Book, Yellow Notebook in separate and different worlds.
So the same thing is going on in different worlds, but the context is different in the different worlds. So what I'm asking then is, what is the context of what it is that you are doing today in this political consultant and other things that you do? What is that in an eternal context?
Well, been thinking about that
because
and that I think the context, eternal context, is that the political stuff I'm doing, I'm showing people to working with the power of government. I think then that eternal context is that I'm showing people to their eternal self.
I could disagree sort of with that, because you said working with the power of government, so that you would, in my opinion, eternalize that as the power of God, and you are showing them how to struggle against the power of government or get around it or whatever. Then in the eternal context, you would be showing them how to struggle against the power of God or get around that. Now my question is, as I've asked since 1995, is that really what it is you would truly choose to do? And maybe we'll get into this now. Would that be what you would truly choose to be and do eternally? Yes or no?
That would have to be a great big no.
Then, what might be then, if it's a no, let's take another look at it. You take a no, now let's go back over to the eternal side of it. What would it, what it would it be in terms of from an eternal perspective?
How do I convert that to a yes?
No. If you don't want to show them to the power of God or government, what is it that you would want to show them to?
Oh, to their own personal autonomy, their own personal power.
Now you see how quickly we got to that by taking what you were doing as a personal self and say, if this is what you're doing eternally, would you do that eternally? And you say no. Then the question we then say, what would you like to do eternally? And you say, show people to the power of themselves. Then let's take that back to a personal self and say, staying essentially within the nature of your job, simply because you have so much invested in it, how could you and in what way could you present what you're doing in a self-empowering way to your client? You see, in the same way then, I didn't struggle against the IRS. I beat him in court because I empowered myself. The question is, can you empower the clients to themselves rather than empower them against the local or state or federal government? And I will use our terms here.
Well, actually, I think I'm beginning to form an image of that. That there. Yes, there is a some of the traditional ways of doing it is lobbying, and that is to find ways to overpower the thrust and direction of government.
To empower your clients, then in that regard, it is not an issue of fighting against the government. It is living the power of himself.
And that can be even external to earthly objectives.
Everything is external. Nothing is internal. Nothing ever. Crap. Internal, external struggles occur in the language only because the language hasn't got anything else to offer.
Well, I mean, by external in this context, I mean my clients will still have physical objectives.
But those objectives are expressions of themselves, not expressions of overcoming something else. You got it?
Yeah.
In the sense that if you help a client overcome something, there is a moment of joy, happiness, pleasure, and whatever, and your client is still screwed.
Well, they got to begin the struggle all over again tomorrow morning.
That's right. But empower the individual client to himself. Then he can go at or participate in whatever project he's doing from his empowerment, not from an overcoming.
Thank you. That really makes sense.
You might also then come back and say, when you look at it this way, no, I wouldn't do this at all. What I would do is something else, but the skills that I've learned in this way, in this manner, for the last 30 years or whatever it is, I would apply those skills in doing it an entirely different thing.
Sure.
But you what?
I said, sure, yes.
But you don't have to then abandon what you're skilled at doing to do some spiritual pathway.
At cloth and robe, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, onward.
Yeah, I got a quick question. I didn't catch that. When you guys were saying there's nothing that's external, I missed the thing that there was a resolution moment where you said something about themselves. Right before this last section. Yeah, okay. Sorry. All right.
Everything is internal. If I said there was nothing external, I'm sorry. Everything is external. External, external, external. There is no such thing as internal. Internal
right.
of your skin is still external of you.
Okay.
And what the books have from the pursuing language, the only thing they have to offer is, well, shit, if it ain't out there the way you want it, then it must be internal. That your internal self is so great and wonderful and marvelous. Oh, sure, it's shitty out there. Oh, well, there's no love out there. The love is in you. That's not true. When you begin to understand these things, then the love, the doing, the whatever, everything is all around you. All you need to do is to communion that to yourself as you truly desire. And get out of this
okay.
internal exterior, because all the internal exterior battle does is maintain the struggle.
Yes. Okay. But all this exterior stuff is not necessarily, not all of it, like you said to me about 20 minutes ago, is all have something to do with you.
No, it's still external, but how you feel about what is external has a great deal to do with revealing you.
Okay. That I got. All right, thanks.
Well, okay. We can get into that in at another time, too. Okay, Patrick.
So now, the question is, considering the likeness between personal and eternal, is there anything in your life today you would truly desire being, doing eternally?
And what we did with you is to say, here is what you're doing, would you do that eternally? And you said no. Then I said, okay, what is it then? And in what way would you do that eternally? And then take that back into your personal self, being, doing, etc., and say, how and in what way then would you do your consulting, etc., etc., etc.?
Yeah.
Or something else.
Or something else. Which, of course, infers that your problems and struggles today will not be relieved or forgiven in an afterlife, but will continue essentially as they are today. Pause.
Everybody got that? You think because Jesus said, or somebody else implied, or it's been going on for thousands of years, that when you die, you will go to heaven, and all of your sins will be forgiven, and you will have this great, wonderful Christ consciousness, cosmic awareness, and have all this thing so that you won't have any of your problems and difficulties today. Crap! All of your problems and difficulties today are, and by the way, they are not have anything to do with your judgments. Your problems and difficulties today have only to do with oneness. Or didn't I make that clear when I wrote that before? Do you understand how it has only to do with oneness?
Well, if there's only one case, then there is a struggle. Can't help but be.
That's right. If you are supposed to be this oneness with God or this great oneness and etc., and if you're supposed to, if you think you're supposed to, then the separateness as that you perceive and live and do all the time are a constant conflict, are they not? If you're supposed to be one with love, then every time you're crappy, boy, that's a burden, that's a problem, it has nothing to do with the judgment itself. It has only to do with the belief in oneness in the first place. Who says we okay with that, Patrick?
Sure am. That one's really clear.
Okay, now, what do you think from the pattern that we've created here, what do you think all of this is all about? What do you think I've been trying to get across for the last 15 years, good or bad, but at least in the last few years, or the last few months even? What am I trying to get across? Do you think? You don't have to be right. Doesn't matter.
I think you're trying to get us to prepare for our eternal lives.
Ah, correcto. The point is that if you haven't embodied your eternal self the way and the manner that you would truly desire, it's kind of, let's put it into this other thing. If you haven't embodied your soul the way you truly desire, who and what do you think you're going to be when you die? You see, up to now you think, okay, I'll die, but my soul will go on. What will go on? Well, you know, it'll be good, right, better, best. Who says so? Or will it be, pardon the expression, more of the same? And if you're living conflict, problems, difficulties, more of the same because you believe in oneness or that's what you're supposed to be, should be, ought to be, etc., and you're living those conflicts, that's what your life after death will be all about. My question to Andrew a while back yesterday or whenever it was, I don't know, have you ever considered the possibility you concern your life, everything in your life today, whether you realize it or not, everything in your life today is governed around concern about death. You might say, I don't give a shit. That's concern about death, and you're trying not to concern yourself with that. Everything you do is even trying to be right, good, better, get the judgments, have life, etc. But have you ever considered the possibility that your eternal self is concerned about your personal death? Hello, anybody?
Have I considered that?
Yes.
No, not really.
Okay, now let's look at it this way. If eternal self, let me see what's going on. Eternal self creates a self-image because eternal self can't do anything other than create a self-image in that regard and can't bring that alive, but creates a self-image, which is your personal self, so that you can get into one of those little cute walk-around suits, so that you can embody personal self. What happens to personal self if you die and have not embodied personal self?
Personal self?
Yeah. Excuse me, internal self.
It's gone.
Well, maybe not gone, but listen to this. If you die and you haven't embodied eternal self the way you would want to live eternally, then eternal self is embodied in the same old crapshit way that you are. Default body. Default life.
Yes. It returns itself.
So then eternal self would be concerned, get on with it, Patrick. Get on with it, Andrew. Embody us the way we would want to be forever and ever and ever as eternal self. So that when you die, wait a minute, that means when you die and you have a self and life as an eternal self, you have a self and a life that you have embodied for yourself, have you not? Mm-hmm. Is it okay with you, Patrick?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happens if you get in a frigging airplane and go off on your own and get yourself shot down? Do you want to keep doing that for life?
No, we're not trying that again. Yeah.
But that's right. But not trying that again, instead of doing that, what are you willing to try and live? You see the thing? All you're doing is saying, okay, I did that. That didn't work. I don't want to do that. Yeah, but what are we going to do? Got it?
Yep.
So, your life today, communioning with a personal being and the eternal self that you are embodying as a being, let's see, you then with a walk-around suit are giving data and information to eternal self to be embodied with that data and information. Well, if you ain't living the self and life you truly desire today, that's the data and information you gave to your eternal self. Who do you think you're going to be next time? Who do you think you're...
Same procedure.
What?
More of the same procedure as every year.
That's right. It's going to be more of the same old shit. Well, I don't want to do that. I know, but what do you want to be and do?
So that question is kind of the purpose or mission statement of putting in the walk-around suit. So you can go out and figure out or get new data.
That's right.
Come up with a new idea of what to do.
But how you want to then express that?
Yeah, right. But maybe if it hasn't, if eternal being doesn't feel like, or eternal self doesn't feel like it's worked out before in the way we really, really want, or they would like it even yet another way that does work, then they need new information.
That's right. And so the problem with all of that is Patrick's giving the data and information to eternal self. Well, not this way, kid. Don't want to do that again. I know, but what do we want to do?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So the question is, if you ain't doing, being, living the things that you would be willing to be and live eternally, then that's what you will be living, whether you like it or not. You'll be doing that again.
Yeah. Well, I guess that makes sense kind of certain questions I had in my life early on, even when I met you, that I didn't really realize where that was coming from. I mean, just like, what am I going to do? How do I want to do whatever I want to do?
That's
with
right.
My life?
That's
like
right.
That.
Because
a lot of people my age act like they don't care, but I really had a concern.
Well, I know. I just use that as an extreme example. You're still doing the same. Now you begin to understand why these senses or wonderings are going on, because that senses and wonderings, let's say, are of eternal self, which is you.
Right.
So you're wondering and sensing and concerning yourself about yourself, your eternal self. So the question is, well, if you don't begin living and creating and preparing and understanding and knowing and etc., those things that the expressions of those things that you'd be willing to be and live forever, you will be what you have defaulted yourself to. Mm-hmm. Happy trails to you. Okay. Patrick, you want to go on?
Yeah, so the question, we did that. But that means you are actually preparing yourself in life after death today.
That's right.
Thank you, Grandma.
That's right. So, would it not then behoove you to live the self and life today that you'd be willing to live eternally? Because if it ain't, that's what you're going to be living.
So you wrote here, through experiencing the self and life you are embodying as an eternal being life, you can clearly see, experience what you are bringing to life and communing. This is your true self and life.
Okay.
Does that last statement, this is your true self and life, hold true? Even if I'm living confused, crapshit?
Well, in a sense, that's true. That is your true self and life, even if it's crapshit.
Okay.
Next paragraph.
Now, you see the importance of knowing the participants and their relationships in a happening or a dream. If you want to know what is being portrayed. Pause.
So, if we have a pattern, but you don't have the participants in an event in your life or in a dream, if you don't have the participants properly situated on the pattern, you don't understand how the pattern is functioning, do you?
No.
In other words, there can be a lot of walk-ins or this things that you're doing that you might say is insignificant. Well, maybe it's not so insignificant after all. Or it might be important, but maybe it's not important at all. To understand the pattern, you must know the participants so that you can pattern the participants and see how they interact and interrelate, and in that understand yourself in life. The fact is, you understand everything in yourself in life.
Yeah, whether it's an occurrence or a dream.
Whether it is an occurrence or a dream. So you can't understand your dream. I started with the dreams and saying, okay, you want to understand your dreams, then you got another participant. If you want to understand your suscitation in mind, then you must know the participants. If you want to know what is happening in your life, you must know the participants, so that you can see and truly then understand those things which are you and in what way are they you, and those things which are not you and in what way are they not you. And it may change in every event, like the participants in a dream one time. The same participants might take a different role in another dream. And the same thing applies to your personal life. People in your life in one episode or one period, etc., may take on a part or role in the participants displaying the pattern in one instant, and the same people could take on the role of expressing the same pattern in a different way in the next moment.
Hmm.
means that in a dream or in my daily life, the relationship I have with eternal being will get characterized by someone in my life.
Or a thing. Remember, like one time we had the eternal being was an ashtray?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So it may be a person, place, or thing. Now let me ask you a question. Could you imagine, listen very carefully, that your personal self, aka personal being, is ever changing?
Not sure what you mean by ever changing.
Never the same. See, you think, if you're following most people, that if I said you were eternal, then you would think unchanging. So you as an eternal being would be unchanging, that the personal self of you is always changing and mucking around and doing something. I'm trying to get you off of that concept and maybe kind of think, wait a minute, if all of this is true, then my eternal self as it's embodied would be reoccurring, would be constantly changing.
And that doesn't necessarily mean great big changes all the time, but
it could be
nonetheless. Time.
Could be great big changes, sure. What's wrong with that?
So I said it doesn't necessarily mean, but it's...
I'm talking about any changes.
Any, all the time.
All the time.
Interesting notion.
You see, I'm trying to get you off of the concept of Mr. Good guy, spiritual, immortal, ever fixed and changing, wonderful, wonderful you, etc. What if your eternal self it not only is, but to make any sense to you, must be ever changing? Language insists...
Be more than a condition?
Forget, don't use words at me that are trying to label it. That doesn't mean anything. Think only in terms of how, from the pattern that we have set up, how would Hothir be ever-changing? And if Hothir is ever-changing, would not Mattathiah be ever changing?
Wouldn't Jason be changing?
Well, we know that from the get-go because Jason's a personal being and that's where all the bad stuff is. But the teaching and religion says, oh no, be spiritual. Understand your immortal, eternal, not changing, spiritual self. You seduced into that. Wait a minute. No, I want my eternal self to be ever changing. Don't you?
I mean, I don't have an image.
Why?
I had the image before as it is correct as a fix.
I know you did, and I'm trying to get you out of that. So don't give me another fix. Give me another changing. What is recur? What is eternal? Does that mean immortal? Never dying? Always the same? Fix, 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 fix? Or does it mean reoccurring over and over and over and over again? And in each...
reoccurring, yeah.
Oh, but then, wait a minute, then. in each... Wait a minute. Let me see this now. If it's recurring, then every time, in every lifetime, that the Eternal creates a personal self, and the personal self is embodied and lives that lifetime, it in turn embodies the personal self differently, such that in every lifetime, from episode to episode, the Eternal Self is ever changing.
Reoccurring doesn't mean repeating, yes.
Ah, that's right. We've never said repeating. You can repeat it if you want to, and that's what memories kind of sort of do. It keeps you locked into doing the same damn thing over and over again. But if I can get you out of memories, then you can be ever-changing, recurring. Doesn't that sound swifter?
Yeah, much swifter.
That sounds good, yes.
You see? Oh, wait a minute. That's because you don't want to lose your identity. Fixed means you lose your identity.
Mm-hmm.
You only maintain your identity in a recurring, ever-changing, eternal self. Then my question to you is, if personal self embodies in a life which is ever-changing, which embodies eternal self in a life that is ever changing, how in the hell do you ever know what's going on? And the answer might be, what if everything is changing except that the pattern remains the same? So that then the pattern remains the same, allows you at every moment of your life, or every lifetime of your life, or in every condition of your life, no matter what the events are, and no matter how they're changing, you can understand it.
Mm.
However, if you don't see and understand the pattern that's going on in your life, or if you ignore the pattern, or if you fixate the pattern, allow me that abusive word, you fixate the pattern, then the ever-changing you and the ever-changing eternal you is utter chaos to you. You can't understand a damn thing. Hello, anybody?
That's for damn sure.
Yes.
And isn't that to some degree or another? You think you know, but you don't really know what is going on, because everything is ever changing. Of course it is. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But you have the pattern, and from the pattern, then you can know anything, regardless of the participants. You have the pattern, and the pattern is just a program for you. Hey, you were given a program to life, you just didn't read it. Okay. Keep going, Patrick, because we're running out of time here, and we got to get through with this.
I think you've dealt with the last paragraph, I think.
Well, read it anyway.
Since everything in your life and body is being portrayed, you can't know what's what going on without a program of players and relationships, which happens to be the patterns of yourself in life, today and eternal.
You got it?
Yep.
So, you didn't come into life without a repair and maintenance manual or an understanding manual, you did. The pattern is there and it had been laid out for you. There might be a slightly different pattern for other individuals, but the pattern requires participants. A pattern of oneness is no pattern. Oneness destroys all awarefulness. It destroys the pattern. It blurs so that you can't know. And people in your life, when you get to see them, like knowing Gabby and Gabai, as you see that and pursue that in your life, that allows you to see you. Because to see and know yourself, that's too self-referential. You can't know yourself. But you can't know anything else about anyone else unless you have a pattern that allows you to set out the participants so that you can see their inner relationships. Well, I guess there's no sense in reading anymore. And I don't have anything else to say on this. Gosh, you were a little Gabby here tonight, Patrick.
I sure had fun, didn't I?
I hope you did. Well, we'll pick it up from here, unless somebody has anything else they want to say. We'll pick it up from here next week and go right back to the story, finish the story, and maybe now, maybe I have tried to portray what I'm doing. What I'm trying to do in all of this is show you to a pattern that allows you to see and know and understand yourself, so that in that then you can be creating the self and life that you would be living eternally, so that if and when you, well, we'll say if, essentially you understand, do you not, that if the self and life you are living today is the self and life you would live eternally, that when you die, whatever die means, you move from this life to essentially the same life, you haven't died. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. We'll leave it there. Pick it up next week.
Thanks a lot, Raj.
Thanks, anybody who's listening.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks,
now.
Guys. Thanks, Roger.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks for here. Bye.
Yeah, bye.